If Jordan Love has to take the reins in 2023, is he ready? How much progress has he really made? How much did we actually learn from that game in Philadelphia? How much has he impressed his teammates and his coaches? Tyler Dunn wrote about this for Go Long. He joins me on the show today to talk about the future of the quarterback position in Green Bay.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table. We're going to do it.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Pop.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. You will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet. And the show for fans who know what happened, they want to know why and how. Today on the show, our pal Tyler Dunn wrote a 7,000-word, story about Jordan Love. Hearing from his quarterback coaches, finding out some interesting things, nuggets about the relationship that Jordan Love's personal quarterback coach has to Matt LaFleur, his former offensive coordinator has to Matt LaFleur, the courting of Jordan Love to Green Bay, and then the progress that he has made. Ty clarifies some of the remarks made from Bob McGinn. Maybe you listened to the podcast. Maybe you listen to the most recent comments from Bob McGinn, that there were some issues of some fans were going, oh, that's just opinion, because Bob said, you know, look, this is my gut. A lot of it was based on conversations, and then he's extrapolating. They had a second podcast in which Bob clarified and then talked to more people, and that left Bob McGinn even more resolute that this is over, that the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are going to part ways. So understand that that's where he's coming from. This has been sort of the hill that Ty has died on over the last couple of years. He and I have not always seen eye to eye on the future of Aaron Rodgers. He was one of the people saying, all of the people that I'm talking to say Aaron Rodgers is not going to be back in Green Bay. And I was saying, don't bet on it. I think he's coming back. And there are 30 million reasons why he's coming back. Now there's 60 million reasons why he's going to at least play, whether it's in Green Bay in this upcoming season or not. But we are aligned now. We think it is over for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. But we went long on this interview, so I don't want to go into a lot here at the start. Let's just dive in with me and Ty. Joining me now, longtime friend of the Locked On Packers podcast, Tyler Dunn from GoLongTD.com. Has a Go Long podcast with Bob McGinn. You might have listened to it last night because Bob had more tea to spill. I will let Ty decide if he wants to go into that stuff, because of course we'd also like for you to pay for a subscription there. But Ty, this is like year what, 3-4 of this with Aaron Rodgers and trying to figure out what's going on in Green Bay.
Round and round we go. That's right. It's I mean, it really is a flashback to everything that happened, whatever it was, 15 years prior with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Like, yeah. It's kind of eerie and spooky how similar this, like, divorce, whatever you want to call it, separation, ripping the band-aid off, is to that. On so many levels that we're going to get into, but yeah, it feels a little more real this time. A lot more real, actually.
It would just sort of be wonderful if he went to the Jets. Like, if that were the move, and it's actually Brett Favre 2.0, the exact same, you know, mechanisms there, that would just be terrific. I actually want to go back, because I mentioned this recently on one of my shows, because we get Bob's first notebook dump, if we want to call it that. And then we get this Tom Silverstein report that Brian Gutekunst has told people in the league, I think it's time to move on. And I had people push back like, oh, this is all happening when Aaron is in darkness and he can't defend himself. And I was like, this did not happen overnight. If you want to trace the lineage of what's happening right now, go back to 2018 and Mark Murphy saying, don't be the problem. They knew 5 years ago that this could be a combustible situation. And no one knows that better than you, because you reported on that very thing.
Yeah, and I think that you have to almost view Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in terms of, all right, forever, for the longest time, all drama has always been worth it because he's so talented. I mean, he's a four-time MVP. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I do disagree with Bob. You know, he didn't say he wasn't, but he said, you know, that should be a conversation. Look, he's really, really good. One of the best ever. He'll get streets named after him, statues, all of that stuff. And there's always been all of this other theatrical, dramatic baggage that comes along with Aaron Rodgers. It's not exactly breaking news to say that. I mean, it's always kind of been there. It's been ramped up the last couple seasons with the, I mean, I'm sure you've dissected the ayahuasca side effects. you know, I told Joe Rogan he did mushrooms.
That's in my tea.
With plants and fungi. Oh yeah. All that stuff. He may or may not be with a witch. Remember, that was a thing last year. A lot going on. But you always put up with it because he's so good. But what made him so good, if we're getting to the nitty gritty, it's that telepathic connection with a Jordy Nelson, a Randall Cobb, a Davante Adams, tens of thousands of reps. You see the same thing out there. You're freelancing, you're freestyling. And Matt LaFleur, to his credit, he came in with his offense. He let Aaron do his thing at the line of scrimmage for the most part. I mean, and he did. Now you remove that receiver from the equation. You draft three wide receivers. You don't show up for OTAs. You kind of blow off the offseason. At 39, that's a little dangerous to do as well, physically, athletically. You know, his legs just weren't the same this year. He couldn't just escape, you know, those three, four rushers in his face. Yeah. You almost kind of expected that to happen, right? At peak Aaron Rodgers, there's a pass rusher in his face. That's a good thing.
Anytime someone got him on the first try, it was surprising, right? You expected him to evade that first guy every time.
And, you know, he didn't do what Patrick Mahomes did, bringing his receivers down to Fort Worth, Texas. Hey, let's give you a crash course on this Andy Reid Chiefs offense. There wasn't any of that. So it took a long time for the passing game to get going. He's older. You know, I mean, and Bob made some good points on our latest podcast. That's up. He believes his arm is still really, really good. Just doesn't see and feel the same. And what makes him so special, in my opinion, is that connection with those receivers. It's going to be a long time before you can recreate that. Jordan Love is a direct reflection of everything Matt LaFleur wants to do offensively. He was in touch with Steve Calhoun throughout the offseason, throughout the last three offseasons. He's literally doing the drills that he wants his head coach to do all offseason long. He's there at OTAs. Those lines have crossed, you know, and any of the drama, any of the extra stuff that Aaron Rodgers might bring, it's just not worth it because he isn't this extraterrestrial quarterback anymore. And that's okay. I mean, this side of Tom Brady, it happens to everybody. Everybody. So there's only one Tom Brady, only one LeBron James.
Right. It's similar too, because it looks like Rodgers doesn't want to get hit in a lot of the same ways that Tom Brady doesn't want to get hit. And so he's sort of stuck between, I used to be this preternatural feel pocket guy who could escape and had the athleticism to escape. Brady never had that. So it all had to be timing. And so we saw 2 years ago and the year before that, when he won the Super Bowl, the ball is out now and I'm throwing it down the field. I'm trusting my guys. This last year, it was like, there's no way either one of these guys wanted to get hit. You just can't operate like that in the NFL. Watch Patrick Mahomes, watch Joe Burrow, watch Justin Herbert, watch Jalen Hurts. They are not afraid to stand in there and take a shot. That leads us, Ty, to Jordan Love, because he is, you go back to the tape at Utah State, not afraid to hang in there and make a throw and take it in the chest. You did a news story at Go Long where you talked to players that Jordan Love has played with. You talked to Steve Calhoun, his personal quarterback's coach. What did you set out to learn before we get to what you learned? What did you set out to learn?
You know, down there in Phoenix, where I saw you down there, so that was great to see in person, Pete. But Charles Woodson was there, and I thought that he made a really interesting comment. He said, like, when Aaron Rodgers was a backup and Brett Favre was the starter, the players knew. Offensive players, defensive players, they kind of knew what everybody on the outside didn't. And I know there was the Dallas game where Aaron Rodgers looked really, really good.
Yeah.
But he wasn't always, he was kind of hot and cold in the exhibition games. Once the season starts, media, you don't see any 11 on 11. You just see guys stretch and that's about it. But they knew that Aaron Rodgers was ready to start. And it's, you can't say enough about Ted Thompson. The balls he had to move on from Brett Favre. I mean, 13-3, hosting the NFC Championship game, one pass away. He clearly can still play. Brett Favre in 2007 looked a hell of a lot better than Aaron Rodgers in 2022.
He was an MVP candidate.
And they were willing to move on. And I remember being an intern out there that summer working with Packer Report and the Sean O'Leader and running around not knowing what the hell I'm doing. It was crazy. Your listeners remember they're booing Aaron Rodgers at practice. Family night was a disaster. Brett Favre's flying back to take his job. But everybody internally knew Aaron Rodgers was ready. So that's kind of the impetus for this surge. When Charles Woodson said that, he's like, look, I don't know. He goes, I'm just kind of seeing what you guys are all seeing. But the players are going to know. The people close to Jordan Love are going to know. So I reached out right to Steve Calhoun, who's known him since eighth grade, a mentor, a personal quarterbacks coach. He's been with him every step of the way. David Yost is the offensive coordinator at Utah State, who he had the guts early in Jordan Love's collegiate career to bench the starter and start Love. When he took over, Love was fourth on the depth chart, you know, a redshirt freshman. He didn't even play the year before. His one scholarship offer was Utah State. So he kind of knew what it took at that level to just go all in with Jordan Love. And then, yeah, several Packer players, some on the record, some off because they would politely like to stay out of this mess. And I don't blame them, but they wanted to offer their insight. And everybody can hear Aaron Jones, right, to Undisputed, say he's ready. He is that guy. Devondre Campbell, before the Philly game on Clubhouse Live, cutting in to say, He's a starting quarterback. He's better than a lot of starting quarterbacks. Yep. These guys know. These guys believe. I think one telling nugget that I heard in this story, and obviously want people to subscribe to read it in entirety, and it's a long one. I think it came out about 7,000 words. I know Jordan Love. We've done a lot of Jordan Love stuff, so apologies. It's in the name, though. Go long, so you know what you're getting into. but maybe this was out there. You tell me, Peter, but the last month of the season, Jordan Love got a lot of number one reps.
Yeah.
And when Aaron Rodgers was a little banged up, Love worked with the first team offense a lot. And then players said he looked incredible in those reps. The deep ball accuracy was there, head command. He's done everything that you can do away from the field. I'm getting ahead of myself here, Peter. Sorry to ramble, but I feel like if they do run it back with Aaron Rodgers, which I don't think they will, but if they do, miraculously, if somebody gets weak in the knees and they end up sticking with him, I think that Jordan Love requests a trade, demands a trade. I think he's ready to play. He wants to play. He knows it's his time in 2023. So you're really going to trash everything that you've spent 3 years building if you're Green Bay? Yeah, I get it. I mean, I know I was on my own mountain off in the distance 2 years ago saying they should trade Aaron Rodgers for whatever it'd be, 3-4 first-round picks.
You were?
Because – yeah, well, not many out there with me. I stand with it, even with the MVPs, because you're setting yourself up.
In retrospect, you were right. In retrospect, you were absolutely right.
But I understood the business decision not to, because if Aaron Rodgers is winning MVPs with Denver or Vegas, throwing touchdowns, smirking for the cameras, as one NFL exec told me, Mark Murphy better find a new line of work in that scenario. Mm-hmm. So I understood. Now the terrible business decision is giving up on Jordan Love when Aaron Rodgers is in that state and Jordan Love is in the state.
All right, we're going to get back to Ty in just a second. Before we do, today's episode brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. The midway point in the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use, and you can bet on anything. You can bet on everything. The money line, the point spread, you can do things like rebounds, points, rebounds, assists. There's all sorts of fun things you can put together. Just because this is an NFL show, and I get it, but a lot of my listeners, me, I'm an NBA fan, and the NBA is actually really fun to bet on. I love to bet on NBA futures, and FanDuel.com lets you do that wherever you want. It's great. And now you can do it risk-free. No sweat, first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. I want to give you your flowers on this, because you actually came on my show in 2020, I think, and said, this was an inspired decision by the Green Bay Packers to draft Jordan Love. And you wrote that at the time, that while everyone else is going to be struggling to find that next guy, the Packers drafted him and gave him and are giving him an opportunity to develop. And they may well walk into, even if it's not three straight Hall of Fame quarterbacks, by the time Jordan Love is ready to play, there's a good chance he's really good. They bet on the upside of Jordan Love. And now we're starting to see that come to fruition. So you were the earliest that I can remember on, hey, this is actually a great idea. And I think Jordan Love can be really good. This was based on conversations that you had. And I bring up this point all the time, Ty. You reported this, that no one did more work on Jordan Love than the Packers in the pre-draft process. And that included Matt LaFleur making phone calls in the fall of 2019 before he's really even seen Aaron Rodgers play, right? So the idea that like this was, Jordan Love fell into their lap. No. They wanted Jordan Love. Matt LaFleur wanted Jordan Love. Brian Gutekunst wanted Jordan Love. They have, to your point on investment, a huge investment in Jordan Love. And I think if you're Brian Gutekunst, you want to see what you have. I think aside from the business part of it, I want to see Jordan Love if I'm Brian Gutekunst.
100%. Matt LaFleur, his chief of staff, Daryl Franklin, who has been an NFL scout for a while, he lived with David Yost for a while, you know, back in the day when he was coming up for like a couple of years, I think he said. So he's the one that kind of connected Yost and LaFleur. And it was, you know, informal, but lengthy conversations about what type of leader is Jordan Love, how do trainers react to him, teammates, coaches, how does he command a room, all that kind of stuff. And then on the field, what's his game? And David Yost told him he'll play within the confines of your offense. We did a spread in the shotgun, but he is unafraid to throw it down the field. And that resembles a young Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you remember those early days of Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I think that's such a great point on this is an investment by LaFleur, by Brian Gutekunst. And look, all of these coaches have egos to some degree. I'm sure Matt LaFleur would love to run his offense through a Jordan Love. And yes, he's given Aaron Rodgers autonomy at the line of scrimmage. That's been magical at times. He's won two MVPs. It's a great thing. By all accounts, much better relationship with Matt LaFleur than he had with Mike McCarthy, especially at the end. I do think that LaFleur would like to run his offense, though. And I think it's telling when a young receiver told me for this story, look, it's easier to talk to Jordan Love about the offense. We can kind of speak the same language because we're in the same boat. We're all coming up together. With Aaron Rodgers, it's you're trying to kind of create that encyclopedia in your mind that you just don't have. You might audible to a play that, you know, he ran 2 years ago when you were still in college. So that's happened for a lot of guys. It just isn't a good fit. But I think that's part of the genius of the Jordan Love pick is they had an opportunity to really build two teams within one. They had this contending team. Clearly, they had just played in the NFC Championship game, but you draft a quarterback, you let him develop, you give him 2-3 years, and then he's going to be ready to go. And they drafted AJ Dillon too. So no teams do this. Nobody does. Everybody is, you know, they're selling their soul for Deshaun Watson. They're selling the farm for Russell Wilson. They're, you know, they're the Hall of Famer that they had eventually is at the point Rodgers is now. They're 39, they're 40. They stumble into retirement. You hung on to him a year longer than you probably should. Big Ben, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers. I mean, there's so many of these guys. And then you're scrambling. And then you sign somebody in March, like a Mitchell Trubisky. And then you draft a Kenny Pickett. And then on draft night, what do you hear from the coach and the GM? Oh, we still believe in that Mike Glennon that we signed earlier in free agency. Name the dream. All these teams do this.
Yeah.
And then inevitably, that team will start poorly. And you play the rookie sooner than you wanted, and he may or may not be ready. There is a value to learning on the job, which I think Jordan Love needs.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go through your
ups and downs. Brian Gutekunst said the only learning he can do now is playing. He's done everything we've asked him to do on the practice field. Now he needs to do it on the field. And that's how you learn that last step.
Totally. But I think that the plan was sound. Yes, T. Higgins is a really good receiver. But quarterback is exponentially more important than any other position on the field. So if you, even if Jordan Love turned out to be a bust or not what they expected, I still would have said it was a great pick because it's too important of a position. You should take him when you don't need him.
My case at the time, and it was not my case the first night, but after sleeping on it, right? In
after April, four fingers of tequila with Aaron, right?
Yeah, I only had whiskey in my house, so I had to go with the whiskey. But I said, you know, regardless of what I think of the wisdom of doing it, if you only get 2 years of Jordan Love, it's more valuable than 5 years of any receiver. Like, it's more years. If Jordan Love is good, like if Jordan Love is T. Higgins good, two years of Jordan Love is better than 5 years of T. Higgins, just like objectively. And so that's why I think that if you go back, people are going to say, okay, well, they could have won Super Bowls. Maybe, maybe not. What is in your mind going to be the reaction when we get the word about the decision that was made, whether it's staying or going? Like what are you looking for, and what do you think is going to be the reaction, stay or go? Not whether you think he's going to stay or go, but like, how do you think fans will react whenever we get whatever the word is?
I think fans will, Packer fans, they can create optimism. They'll be happy regardless of whatever happens here by May, June, July. The division's going to be wide open either way. They can talk themselves into being a contender either way. I mean, and then the NFC, and anybody can win the NFC. So I think it'll be good. I think people will be excited either way. But I will say this. I think that it's turned. And I can usually tell by, you know, right, the old mentions column on
the old Twitter machine. Yeah.
The godforsaken bird app. But I think that fans are to a point where they've seen enough of Love to get excited about him, and they think he needs to see the field for better or worse. Even fans who maybe they didn't believe in Jordan Love, maybe they didn't even like the pick, any of that. They want to see him play. They want to see him have a shot out there, especially after that Philly game. I think they're ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers. I think the majority, I don't know what the vote is at right now. I mean, people listen, it'll be over by then, but I just threw out on Twitter, like, who would you rather see? Who do you want as a quarterback, Love or Rodgers? Last night, check was overwhelmingly Jordan Love. And I think that living through the Favre-Rodgers charade 15 years prior, it kind of conditioned everybody for this. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be okay with a trade because he doesn't want to. I mean, maybe there's part of him that would really love to stick it to Green Bay when they tell him we're going to roll with Jordan Love. And he goes, you know what? All right, well, I'll call your bluff. Let's see. I'm showing up for training camp. You owe me $59 million. Let's see who the better quarterback is. And he might do that. But he saw the damage that did to Brett Favre's legacy when he left the way he did. And yeah, he went to the Jets and then he went to the Vikings. And but I mean, people were booing him mercilessly at Lambeau, what, 70, 80,000 because of how it went down. So yeah. I think right now that's what you're seeing. The team and the quarterback are so cognizant of messaging and how things are perceived by, you know, their paying consumers, because nobody really wants to be the bad guy. It's not you, it's me. It's all kind of very delicate, very fragile right now. And I think at that point, Rodgers will know I can't show up at training camp and be a pain in the ass, because then fans will hate my guts for a while. And he doesn't want that. He doesn't want to deal with that. He knows how important it is to be beloved. And he's kind of dropped little subtle nuggets already, right, on McAfee about, you know, playing elsewhere and playing nice with the Packers. So I think that they can find a lane where, you know, he's traded to the Jets, to the Raiders, to the Titans, wherever, and Packer fans still like him, which is what Aaron would like, which is what Green Bay would like, and everybody sings Kumbaya. I think it will be smoother than the Favre breakup.
I agree for a lot of reasons. I quickly, as we go, I want just your quick reaction to this thought that I've been having, because you and I talked about this off pod about some of these reports about if the Packers, you know, Rodgers, if he wants to come back, they'll take him back. One line that Tom Pelissero repeated over and over in his explanation on both NFL Media Hits and on Rich Eisen Show, et cetera, is if Aaron wants to come back and the team is going in the direction that he wants, then the Packers will welcome him back. I think that middle piece is so crucial. I think they have both set up this idea. We want you back. Rodgers wants to come back, but they do not have a vision that is aligned on the future in the short term. And that is ultimately the out for both sides to say, look, we wanted it to work, but we just didn't see eye to eye on how to move forward. And so we decided the best thing was to move on. What do you think of that?
I agree. It was couched in a way where you could interpret that so many different ways. Okay, we're ready to give Jordan Love a shot. We want to go young at the position. Thank you for everything. Let's just amicably go our separate ways. The old mutual parting of ways, right? I always love that phrase. I'm sure what they're hearing. They're talking to people in the know as well. Green Bay, obviously, if they were going to trade Aaron Rodgers and go ahead with Jordan Love, are they publicly going to shout it from the mountaintops? No, they need to maintain trade leverage.
Right.
And that's why I definitely want folks to listen to Bob McGinn himself. He explained his reporting a little more in depth on the latest episode. And he wishes, like, look, I wish the way he worded it initially, he mentioned his instincts and his experience, that kind of stuff. He's like, no, this is conversations with people with intimate knowledge of the Packers. Like, they know their thinking, and it's coming from a very substantive place. I don't want to speak for Bob. You can listen to him right on that podcast. But I think that's important because Green Bay, they want to get something for Aaron Rodgers. Right? They don't want to be stuck with a third rounder or second round. They want to get as much as possible, which is going to make this NFL combine very interesting as well when they're at the podium and they have to answer this stuff. I mean, they're not going to stand up there and say how much they dislike the way he's acted privately, publicly, any of that. Like, they want to play nice. They want to get something for him. But know this, they are ready to start Jordan Love. They love his potential. As Bob said, Bob's like, I personally don't know about him. Ty, I know you like him a lot more than me. He's like, this is just what they think. Logic, everything tells you that this is the direction it's going. Bob said himself, people can change. They can get weak in the knees. They can have second thoughts. Yeah. Maybe somebody with a voice at the top interjects and changes others' opinions. This whole situation has been fluid. I mean, 2 years ago, all of us were hearing the same thing. He's done. He's never playing for them again. So yes, things could change, but right now that's where it is. They're ready to start Love and they're done with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. People should go subscribe to Go Long TD. Check out those podcasts with Bob McGinn. We're all just wading through the darkness. Ty, thank you so much for bringing a little light into the show for us.
I've tried to think of a good darkness pun and I've failed miserably. So that was solid. That was direct. I like it. Good work, Peter.
All right. Thanks to Ty for joining the show. Always great to talk to him. He's going to let you know how he feels and it will generally be sourced. He is not just going to fly off the handle and say stuff. That's not really Bob McGinn's MO either. Now they have takes, right? But this is going to be based on conversations. They are both, and I respect this a lot about them, reporters first. And they view it, and McGinn has said, like, he doesn't think Jordan Love is the second coming. He doesn't think Jordan Love is a great quarterback. But the Packers, according to him, are sold. So it doesn't matter if you like it or if I like it or if Ty likes it. If the Packers think the thing, that's ultimately what matters the most here. All right. We will finish up here tomorrow. Maybe we'll get a decision. Maybe we won't. I doubt it. I kind of think that because we haven't heard anything, you know, like, look, I assumed Aaron Rodgers was going into the darkness at the end of the week, even if it's like Monday. Okay. It's Thursday. Like he's coming out soon. If the Jets are waiting, we're going to talk about this Jets stuff. We're going to talk about this Jets stuff tomorrow. I don't want to spoil it. Let's hold that. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. That's a tease, ladies and gentlemen. you can just subscribe to Locked On Packers anywhere you get podcasts. And of course, on our YouTube page so you can stay Locked On Packers.